It is cold outside, except where Obama goes. And just as the Red Sea parted for Moses, he goes where the weather is warm to talk about global warming. Now, not to be outdone is Hillary Clinton, who talked about an African elephant. No, it was an African animal. Let's listen to clip 32.
One of the best pieces of advice that I've ever heard from anyone is Eleanor Roosevelt in the 1920s, who said that, you know, women in politics or in public roles should grow skin like a rhinoceros. I think there's some truth to that.
Well, but the question, dear Mrs. Clinton, is do we want another rhino in office? And we don't know. This is the Savage Nation. It's open mic to Mike Friday. There are many stories. I'll open the lines up to you right away at 855-407-2822. Any of the topics of the week that you meant to talk about but couldn't get to, and I'll bring you back to Monday, for example. Oh, by the way, you know who we have on at the 30 minutes after the hour? Many of you don't know who it is, but Vicky Behenna, the mother of Lieutenant Behenna, who's been unfairly imprisoned in Fort Leavenworth for doing his job as an Army Ranger. He's going to be freed because of you, largely because of this audience. Certainly not only. It's the mother and father who didn't give up on their son. She'll be with us at 30 minutes after the hour. We'll hear from her directly. It's a big victory for the truth, for America, and it'll be a great morale boost to the soldiers out in the field facing the Islamofascists on a daily basis who fear every day they're liable to go to prison for doing their job. The worst soundbite of the week was, let's start with the good stuff. On Monday, I had a dream of having a Chinese meal with President Obama and what questions I would have asked him. Remember that? The same day, Governor Sandinista de Blasio wants to give ID cards to illegal aliens. Okay. On Tuesday, we talked about the inequality gap, and I talked about, no, it's the quality gap that's missing because of people like High Jackson, because affirmative action is nothing more than communism. Communism and affirmative action are one and the same. On Wednesday, Eric Holder said felons should be able to vote. I actually agree with Rand Paul that nonviolent felons who do their time should be able to vote. And yesterday was a mind-blowing story. The California Appeals Court, most liberal in the country, ruled that concealed weapons can be carried in the open without a permit. It's a big deal. And the Tea Party operations, spending on it. I mean, who's getting the money? We talked about that. So if any of these topics appeal to you, 855-400-7282. Let's begin this segment with another knockout game out of Cleveland where a black teen mob attacked a disabled white veteran and beat him up in Cleveland screaming, "Knock out that white boy." Listen to clip one.
What they were saying was, "Knock this boy out, white boy cracker." They were saying, "Knock this white boy out." I'm just thinking, you know, pretty much protect myself. And don't let anybody get behind you. Nobody stepped in to help. So I thought it was a shame. No, no one should have to deal with that type of racism or ridicule. I think there should be jail time for an assault. I mean, who's to say that, you know, your mother or your sister couldn't be on the bus and the same thing can happen there?
Well, you can see why black teens might get the idea that it's okay to beat up crackers. Because amongst their leaders are demagogues like High Jackson, Sharpton, Obama, Holder. But not to be outdone is their cousin, Louis Farrakhan, who said that, oh, you didn't hear that one? Let's play clip 20. You'll
according
see why
the history
game is going
of the
on.
White race, they are guilty of making trouble, causing war among the people and themselves ever since they have been on our planet Earth. So the God of the righteous has found them disagreeable to live with in peace and has decided to remove them from the face of the earth.
So Louis Farrakhan says God has decided to remove white people from the face of the earth. The morons in the streets take that to mean attack white people. You see, there is cause and effect between actual hate speech and actual acts of hatred, as opposed to legitimate political criticism, legitimate opposition to a communist regime. That's not hate speech, because I've analyzed this for years. I'm an educated man. I know what Marxism is. People who've lived through it know what it is, and I don't need the New York Times to tell me I'm right or wrong. They need me to tell them what's right or wrong. Do they have a greater authority than I do? Break it down. Does the New York Times have a greater authority on any subject related to politics than I? Why would they? How would they? After all, who are they but just people? Break it down. The New York Times consists of people. So therefore, it's just their opinion. So why should their opinion trump my opinion? Well, in fact, it doesn't. On this radio show, my opinion trumps their opinion. There are other topics that are, I think, are worth talking about. And it's the euthanasia law in Belgium. It's a shocking story. Belgium has said children should be able to execute themselves if they're unhappy with life or they're suffering a terminal illness. They should just be able to have themselves euthanized. Now, there was the most brilliant counterpoint to this was in the Washington Post by Eugene Kantorovich. And here's what he argued, and I'll try to summarize it simply. Right now in America, as you well know, we cannot put children criminals to death. They cannot be ascribed the death penalty because it's been said that they're not responsible for their actions. And this came from Europe. It came from Europe originally, where they taught us dumb heathen Americans, that minors are not responsible for their actions. America was then labeled a human rights violator, an international criminal. And so the Americans caved into this pressure, citing this European position as support for its conclusion that, hey, other countries do not allow execution of children because they're not responsible for their actions, right? Well, now he asks, well, then how can a 17-year-old rapist murderer not face capital punishment? Well, because as Justice Kennedy wrote in a 5-4 decision, science has shown that minors, even 17-year-olds, are too immature to truly understand the consequences of their decisions or the meaning of life and death. He said that juveniles are prone to impetuous and ill-considered actions, and they should not be made to lose their life for even if the action involved taking the life of another. Now, that's a liberal position. Isn't that very progressive? Really? Well, then, how can the Europeans now argue, as they are in Belgium, that children are responsible enough to decide that they should die, where the Netherlands now allows euthanasia as young as age 12. This is progressivism. This is the end line of humanism. This is exactly what it's all about, whether it being twisting the truth to protect murderers while saying to children, go ahead and kill yourself, it's okay by us, or taking a perfectly healthy giraffe in a zoo. Did we get that, Neil? In a zoo, and saying we're going to kill the giraffe and then feed it to the lions in front of children because that's the humane thing to do. This is what happens with progressivism. This is what happens with humanism. This is what happens with liberalism. Let's go to the calls. Remember, it's a open mic to Mike Friday, 855-497-2822. The East Coast is, I guess, still digging out of a blizzard. And we have many new listeners today. They may not even know what they're listening to. It may sound like their Uncle Vinny, who they thought passed away 50 years ago. But no, I'm not Uncle Vinny. I'm Uncle Michael Savage. I am the uncle of talk radio. I am the uncle that everyone used to have in their family when Sunday dinners were still, let us say, part of the American landscape, where the entire family would get together. I was the uncle who came over who you couldn't wait to argue with because he was usually right. And he proved you to be wrong. And then by the time the dinner was over, you couldn't stand them and you couldn't wait to see him again. But by the time Wednesday came around, you couldn't wait to go to dinner again just to see Uncle Vinny. That's who I am. If I would say that who I am in radio, I'm the uncle. That's all. I'm the Dutch uncle, even though I'm not from Holland. Why do they call them Dutch uncles? I don't understand that. I never understood a Dutch uncle, I guess, sort of hard-headed. Is that what I mean? Hard-headed Dutch uncle. Uncle Savage. What's this about bullying? I don't understand this. Why are we reading about this garbage every day? The people who are most talking about bullying are the biggest bullies in the country. They're trying to bully us into their way of life. That's all. What do I care about a football player bullying another person? I was bullied my entire childhood. So what? It made me stronger. I don't understand this. Where did this come from? You can't take criticism all of a sudden. What are we made of, some kind of butter that we can't take criticism? Anyway, these are the topics that are knocking around in the savage brain today. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Open mic to Mike Friday. is the phone number. Let's go to KSFO in San Francisco. Let's go to Steve. Steve, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Sir, it's an honor to speak to you, Dr. Savage. I'm just upset about the white privilege thing. You know, I'm a white male, and you know, I've done everything the right way, or by the rules, what I'm supposed to do. And I get this white privilege thrown in my face all the time.
Well, who says it to you? It started with the radical feminists on the college campuses who were given the script by the communists. They invented a thing called white privilege. Now, who is it who says it to your face?
I have professors at my son goes to school that say that.
Now, why don't you just look them in the eye and say to them, I've worked for everything I have, didn't you?
True, and I do. I do. I'm just, and I do.
No, wait, are they professors or teachers of color, or professors or teachers who are not colored?
Of color, yes, sir.
Oh, I see. So they've got the entire act worked out. That's their new script? White privilege? Tell them you find it offensive and racist for them to make a reference to your race. And if they keep it up, you're going to report them to the Justice Department for making, let us say, racial statements. That, by the way, that's a very racist statement to go to a white man in a school and say that you are, let us say, benefiting from white privilege. Tell them it's offensive and it's racist, then you're going to report them.
Exactly. And I agree. And I have. And it's.
No, you have to threaten them. I'm telling you, don't reason with these people. They're trying to bully you. And so the only way to fight them is threaten them with a lawsuit or going to the Civil Rights Division. You can stop them in a minute. Most of them are stupid, by the way. And they've gotten where they are simply by using all of these techniques that were taught to them by the lowlifes on the socialist left. Don't be afraid of them. Stand up to them. Thanks for the call. See, we got started already. How do you feel hearing that call? Does it offend you? Do you find it somewhat offensive for someone to say they're fed up with being told that there's white privilege and me telling them to tell the other side to go to hell that you're going to sue them for referring to your race? And that if they keep it up, you'll take them to the Civil Rights Division, you report them for a hate crime? Does that offend you in some way? I certainly hope not. I certainly hope you still have a logical capacity to understand that racism cuts in two directions. But I don't want to get hung up on this subject. I don't want to get hung up on it just because Eric Holder and Obama have made a career out of it. I'll be right back. Make sure I don't touch the third rail is the goal. I walk the line. Watch out, Willie. Don't touch that third rail. It's easy to do in talk radio. You're one word away from extinction. Here's the new commie mayor of New York, this lunatic. Opens the schools during a blizzard. Tells the parents to trudge to school thinking that they're Abe Lincoln. Take your kids to school in the snow. And the absolute, like a canary, a lunatic who, there must have been, you know, gas in the coal mine for this canary. The school's chief tweets, it's absolutely a beautiful day out there. The parents can't even get to school. And you wonder why the children can't read in New York City. Well, I can read the Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto, I'm sure, by the second grade. It's probably given in the seven different languages and various and sundry ways, etc. But to keep the schools open, parents are insanely enraged during a blizzard. We heard Lincoln used to walk to school in the snow. I went to school in the snow. It didn't bother me. I liked it. I liked wearing the snow suits and the boots. I felt like by the time I get to school, I was a character in South Park. My mother dressed me up so warmly, I looked like one of the cartoon characters. And nobody, you needed three people to like take my clothing off at the time I left that house. Nobody could get through that snowsuit she put on. Three, four, five layers. If I fell over, I would feel nothing. There was so much padding. They should consider my mother's ability to dress a child to go to school in the snow in New York for the NFL. I think it would be better protection than what they have, except for the helmet. I'll never forget the day I got hit in the head with an ice ball. To this day, I can remember seeing the stars that hit me. Those kids were mean. They put ice in the middle of a snowball. And out of the blue, on a sunny day in the Bronx, I'll never forget it as long as I live, and it was many decades ago, a snowball came flying at my head and struck me right. And I saw stars because it wasn't a snowball, it was an ice ball. Nice kids in the Bronx in those days. Many of the kids on the block wound up in the electric chair years later. Yeah, nice kids. Talk about bullying. So what? What are you going to do? It's life. It's life. What's with the bullying nonsense? What's this nonsense all of a sudden? It's part of the human condition, putting the other guy down. That's how people live. What world do these people want to live in? a world that doesn't exist, a world of false equality. False equality. Remember my adage, without quality, there can be no equality. That's the biggest thing that's forgotten. Yep. All right, let's go to the calls. Remember, at the bottom of the hour, we have Lieutenant Behenna's mom here. I know many of you don't know who he is. You should know, and you're going to know, because in 09, Army Ranger Lieutenant Michael Behenna was sentenced to 25 years in prison for killing a known al-Qaeda operative while serving in Iraq. In other words, he did his job a little too well, and the military rewarded Lieutenant Behenna by putting him in prison for 25 years. Well, we went crazy. We raised money. We raised the ruckus. And then basically, it was left to his mother and his family, and he's coming out of jail in about a month. She's going to be with us at the 30-minute mark. This is shocking. This is a great man. His parents are great people. They have been persecuted simply because their son did the job he was hired to do. And now he's going to be released. And by the way, Al-Qaeda is treated better than our troops over there. That's your military at work. That's the salami of the U.S. military today under Obama. It's the savage nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the
justice itself. And that is the Army Ranger, who many of you remember, Lieutenant Michael Behenna, who did his job heroically by killing a known al-Qaeda operative while serving in Iraq because they had just killed two of his men. In other words, he was brave enough to go to fight to begin with. Then he did his job. And as a result of it, a kangaroo court was held, and a panel of seven military officers, none of whom had combat experience, convicted this heroic Lieutenant Behenna of unpremeditated murder and assault, and convicted him and gave him a 25-year sentence in prison for killing one of our Islamo-fascist enemies. Well, many of you were outraged, as was I. We did what we could, and then we forgot the case. I'm sorry to say we forgot the case. And there's someone who didn't forget his case, and that's his family. And joining us right now is his incredibly brave mother. It must have taken a great toll on her. Vicky Behenna, so glad for you, and thank you for being back with us on the Savage Nation.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here and thankful that I can finally give some good news.
Vicky, how did this come about that your son is going to be released? How did this happen?
Well, you know, we've been, for the past 5 years, going through appeals. I mean, it's been an incredibly long process. Michael's case went all the way up to the Supreme Court last year and was denied. And so we had a parole hearing in January, and, you know, keeping our fingers crossed and saying a lot of prayers, we asked the board to release Michael. I mean, he's no threat to society, and we just heard on Wednesday that they've agreed to go ahead and grant his request for parole.
Oh, thank God. And this is odd in that it's coming to us under the Obama administration. Isn't that odd?
Well, you know, I don't know. I know the politics were at work. I don't know exactly who makes the decision. I do think it's higher than the board, the policy and review board in the Army. But I don't care how it came down. I'm just so grateful it did.
And are you sure this is really going to happen?
Well, you know, I'm kind of holding my breath. And while I've been nothing but giggly and bubbly since I heard this on Wednesday, you know, he doesn't get released until the 14th.
And yeah, I don't want to say anything that might, you know, in any way endanger this release, because we want to wait until he is out. How many years has he been behind bars?
It'd be 5 years in March.
And his wife, and he had a child, if I remember correctly. Is that correct?
He did not. No, thank God. And Shannon and Michael never got married. I mean, she still remains his girlfriend. She still goes and sees him.
Wow.
He's still there.
5 years in one of the worst prisons in America, which is Leavenworth. Al-Qaeda is treated better at Guantanamo than he was treated, by what I've read. How much money did this cost your family, Vicky? Let's cut to the chase here. This must have cost you an awful lot of money.
It's incredible. I mean, you can imagine going all the way up to the Supreme Court, the kind of people and lawyers you have to hire to do that. But, I mean, we're most grateful to you in particular on that, because you were so instrumental and helpful in your listeners and getting us some money to help us go through the appeal.
Well, Vicky, do you still have a defense fund where my listeners can send donations to help Michael now that he's coming out, and to help you restore some of the money that you had to use to get him out?
We do, and we've established a New Start Fund, is what we're calling it, for Michael, to kind of help him get on his feet. I mean, obviously, he's got to buy clothes, he's got to have a car, he's got to have an apartment.
God.
And so, yes.
What is the email? Tell it to me. I'll put it on my website.
It's www.defendmichael.com.
Defendmichael.com, and we can make donations right there?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm going to make a donation the minute the show is over. I mean, I am so happy. I never thought that they would reverse this, because these bureaucracies, once they make a mistake, they usually never reverse themselves. It's almost like a divine intervention. But it's the mother. It's you. You didn't stop. It's his girlfriend who never stopped believing in him. Why should they? Your son is an American hero, Vicky. Here is a young man who joins the military after 9/11 to fight battles for this country, and look what happened to him.
Yeah, it's inconceivable to me. I mean, a lot of people told me, how do you keep fighting and why you keep fighting? And I said, well, you know, it was an injustice here. And it's not just an injustice because it happened to my son, but how in the world do we expect to send soldiers and combat Marines into combat zones and not support them? They're going to make decisions that the general public's not going to like, but you don't incarcerate them for the decisions that they make.
Lieutenant Behenna, by the way, received this call to serve his country while attending the University of Central Oklahoma. And by the way, he comes from a family of public servants. The woman you are listening to, if I'm not mistaken, Vicky Behenna, was an assistant U.S. attorney. Is that correct?
That's right, until November of last year, yes.
And his father was a retired special agent with the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation. And look what they did to an American hero. Look what happens when a military gets out of control. When was he sentenced? Excuse me, when did this event occur? What year, Vicky?
The shooting incident occurred in May of 08.
Now, when was the court-martial? Was it under Bush? Was it under the Bush years?
He was charged under Bush and went to trial the first part, well, in February of 09, just after Obama came into office.
But we begged Bush to intervene. I went on the show over and over again and begged George Bush to intervene and overturn this injustice. He did nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely.
Nothing. And I don't understand how people can't get outraged by this, that it seems to me there's something very wrong here. When George Bush, who in fact sent these men to war, wouldn't even go to bat for the young men who went to war for us.
Right. And, you know, I think I would have understood it had Michael, I mean, you know, there was one first a sergeant that went out in Afghanistan and killed 12 people just randomly. I think I would have understood people's desire not to touch Michael's case if it involved facts like that. But everybody knows, the Army knows, that the man that Michael shot was a member of Al-Qaeda. And the man was coming toward Michael to take his weapon from him to use it against him. How in the world you can charge a soldier for a shooting incident and convict him of murder is just beyond me. I don't understand.
Now, didn't they then, after they convicted your son and put him in Fort Leavenworth, didn't they release this terrorist, Mansour?
Well, he's dead, but they have released many terrorists.
Wait, it says in May of 08, without explanation, Army intelligence ordered the release of Mansour. Was he released at that time?
Well, that's right, and I didn't get the timeline. I apologize for that. Okay, so let me just, there's an April.
Oh, I'm sorry, he was released. I get it. That's when Behenna was taking him back to his home. I get it. That's what happened. I see.
Yes.
I see. Okay. And in the struggle in the car, when this terrorist tried to overpower your son and take his gun, your son fired a weapon and killed him. That's what happened, right?
That's exactly right. And the forensic evidence supports Michael's claim of self-defense. It's not just Michael saying it was self-defense. The forensic evidence supports it.
Now, how could a panel of seven officers, none of whom had combat experience, have convicted your son? What are they doing on panels if they don't even know what combat is all about?
Well, I think that first of all, that's a great question. But secondly, I think juries make mistakes when they don't get all the evidence. Remember, that was the first thing we had in Michael's case, is that the government prosecutors withheld evidence that their own expert agreed it was self-defense.
Yes, they withheld evidence in order to railroad your son. Well, look, I'm going to do this as often as I can. www.defendmichael.com. I don't want to impose on him or on you in any way, and it's not for ratings. It's just that, God, we want to apologize to him for this government for doing this to him. That's what I would like to be able to say to him is, I apologize for my government. I apologize for George Bush not stepping up to the plate to help you. That's all I would say to him, because if it wasn't for brave men like your son, frankly, the wolves would overtake all of us, Vicky. And God bless you for having produced such an American hero. And I'm going to do everything I can to make sure he gets that car, that clothing, maybe a job. There's probably listeners to this show right now, Vicky, who would like to offer your son much more than I can. And I'm sure you'll hear from them at defendmichael.com.
God bless you for being so supportive of him. I mean, it just warms my heart. And there have been so many people that have been so generous to him already. And I just appreciate everything that you have done.
Well, I didn't do it for me. I did it for you. I can't imagine what toll it's taken on you, Vicky. Look, America knows the truth, and how this miracle occurred is really in God's hands. I don't know what made the Army finally come to its senses, but let's all hold our breath and look forward to the day that Michael Behenna can be back with you and his girlfriend and, you know, his family, and maybe join us on the Savage Nation. That's the least important part of that statement.
No, it would be wonderful. I look for that day, hopefully soon.
Vicky Behenna, again, if you want to help Michael Behenna put his life back together again after this grave injustice that was done to him by the Bush administration, the website is www.defendmichael.com. Vicky Behenna, God bless you, and thank you for giving America a true American hero.
Well, and thank you for telling Michael's story.
Okay, we'll keep doing it. It is 44 minutes after the hour. I got to tell you, that was quite a touching interview with the mother of this young man. Can you imagine if you're a mother, if your son had lived through something like this? Can you imagine? And we're not talking about an ordinary criminal case, of which there probably are many in this country, of people falsely accused. We are talking about wartime, in a war zone, an American hero, an American Army Ranger, who stood up to this piece of garbage, this Islamo-fascist that was trying to kill him, and shot him in a struggle because he was strong enough to do so and had the presence of mind. The cops in this country go through this on a daily basis. The police in this country face the very same situation, transporting these animals, let us say, to holding cells or to prisons. Their lives are in danger. And so if one of these animals gets loose from the cage and attacks the policeman now blinks and thinks twice about shooting him dead for fear the very same thing will happen to him that happened to many other police and to Lieutenant Behenna. This is all as a result of the mental disorder known as liberalism, which is killing all of us. 855-407-2822. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation. This America, thank God justice has prevailed, but let's hold our breath. And before we leave the Lieutenant Behenna story, which is an amazing story, both what happened to him and what's going to happen when he gets released, and with your help and my help, I'm going to try to get him a car, by the way. I'm not going to say any more about it now, but that's the first thing I'm going to try to do, is get Lieutenant Behenna a car. That's the least we can do for him, for his service and what he's been through. But I want to personally say this. George Bush could have intervened and said, wait a minute, this guy doesn't belong in jail, let him out. He didn't. We begged Bush to do it. He wouldn't do it. The then defense secretary wouldn't do it. Isn't it ironic that this release is coming under President Obama and Defense Secretary Hagel? Is it not ironic? Think about what I just said to you. Listen, this release would not have happened, I'm positive, just knowing how bureaucracies work, unless it went all the way up to the defense secretary who signed off on it. That would be my guess. That would be my guess. So Hagel gets the credit for this, and I would not be surprised if President Obama did not also review this and sign off on Lieutenant Behenna's release. And you know what? Give credit where credit is due. Because if this release had been happening under a Republican, I can guarantee you, Fox News would be screaming about how great the Republicans are for, undoing a great injustice. So let me be the one to say, I don't care where justice comes from, and you got to give credit where credit is due. And thank you, Defense Secretary Hagel, for signing off on this, or not interfering with it. And thank President Obama, because he had to be involved. That's my guess. That is my guess. That is my guess. That is my guess. I don't know how this man took it in jail all these years. Just can imagine how lonely he was. Can you imagine being in a dungeon like that at Fort Leavenworth for for doing his job, just thinking back on his entire life as a young boy in America, let's say as a young kid, an athlete, gung-ho, loves the country, loves the flag, duty, honor country, wants to enlist. He enlists. He works his way up to being a commander. He sees his men getting blown up by Al-Qaeda, and then he has to take one of these animals back somewhere in his car, and the guy attacks him, and he has to shoot him. And then he goes, the whole world turns upside down, and he winds up in prison for 25 years. I mean, think about it, if it was your son or if it was you. What an injustice, but hey, it seems like it's over. Let's keep our fingers crossed and hope to God someone doesn't step in and do something wrong here. If you want to help, you go to defendmichael.com. Defendmichael.com. Why don't you give him some money? Do something good for somebody. Forget the politicians. Think of this young man, what he did for this country. Has to start a life all over again. Listen, if I had a corporation, I'd hire him in a minute. If he wanted to work for me, I wouldn't even think about it. Neil, you're fired. He's my, I'm just kidding. All right, let's take some calls on this. It's a good news day. It's a good news day on the Savage Nation. Robert in Pensacola on WCOA Radio. Welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
God bless you, Dr. Savage. That was some of the best news I've heard in a long time.
Yeah, well, it gives us a little hope, doesn't it, that maybe justice will prevail?
Yes, sir, it does. Now, maybe we can do this a little bit further. Your defense fund is wonderful. I wish I could contribute more as I used to, just not able to.
No. Don't give money to me. It goes to defendmichael.com. It doesn't. Not a dime goes through my fund. I want it right to him. But what are you calling about, Robert? Tell me what you're calling about.
Jack Hatfield. Will he ever see the silver screen?
Oh, Jack Hatfield is my alter ego. And he's the lead character, the protagonist in my novel, Abuse of Power, and A Time for War. And I thought it would be a movie by now, but look, the thing is this. That first novel, Abuse of Power, set in San Francisco, is really a good one. It was a New York Times bestseller. Because of liberals in Hollywood, I don't think it'll ever see the big screen, ever. They don't want an American hero like this because he's based upon someone you may know. Jack Hatfield is a former war correspondent who rose to national prominence for his insightful, provocative commentary, like someone you know. But after being smeared as a bigot and extremist by a radical leftist media watchdog group, Jack Hatfield ultimately loses his job and finds himself working in obscurity as a freelance news producer in San Francisco. That's where the story begins. Abuse of Power, A Time for War, and my third novel is in the works. Yep, what a good day it is. Let's all wait for Behenna to come home. We'll be here for him. I'll be back in a few minutes. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation.
Radio, we are. You know, even if you do a little good, let's say you do a little good in your lifetime on radio, like we just did, we have to take pleasure in the fact that it's a horrible world with miserable people and mean politicians and enemies who would cut our throats if they could. And in the midst of all of that, things happen, some good, some bad, some indifferent. And if we can take some of the injustices and turn them around while we're on the radio, while we're an audience of a radio show, well, then we've done something. You have to take pleasure in the fact that because of the Savage Nation audience, primarily because of his mother, Lieutenant Behenna, who was falsely convicted of murdering an Al-Qaeda member while in the military, is finally going to get out of Leavenworth Prison. Because of you. So we did good. You should sleep better at night. Say, well, I really didn't have anything to do with it. I was only listening to your show. Yeah, but if I didn't have a listenership, I wouldn't have an audience. If I didn't have an audience, I wouldn't have a show. If I didn't have a show, I'd have no influence. If I had no influence, nothing would have happened. So I'm going to make a commitment right now on the Savage Nation. I'm not going to take myself to a $5,000 dinner with a star from Duck Dynasty and make believe that's something good for humanity. I'm not going to give a $5,000 tip to a waiter as though it's something good for humanity. I am going to make a commitment right here, right now in the Savage Nation, that I'm going to buy Lieutenant Behenna a new car when he gets out of prison. We're going to do that. I'll do whatever it takes. I'm going to buy him a new car. And it's not going to be a Yugo. That's it. I'm not going to go to dinner in a steakhouse with Newt Gingrich and Ted Cruz and make believe it's good for humanity. I'm going to buy him a new car. I hope that Wallbanger gets jealous and starts to up the ante on this and he buys him an airplane. or something like that. I hope so. I hope this becomes a bidding war of who can buy, who could do more for Lieutenant Behenna. I really do. Who knows? One day, someone else may say, I got to up the stakes. And if Savage is buying Lieutenant Behenna a car, I've got to put him down. So I'll buy him, you know, a house. And then before you know it, one of the entourage in the steakhouse there might even contribute, I don't know, an old stale bread and make believe it's a contribution. Who knows what? You don't know what people are going to give. Job. Maybe Behenna wants a job. Wouldn't it be nice to hire a real war veteran who's been through this hell, hire him for your corporation in the state in which you live? Give him a job if you're the owner of a corporation. All right, look, enough on that. I don't want to get trapped in it because many people don't even know what I'm talking about. Some of you do know what I'm talking about. So if you look back on the history of the Savage Nation over the many years I've been on the air, have we had any victories or successes? I'll name two or three, and then I'll move on to the open mic to Mike Friday. We stopped the Dubai port deal single-handedly. I was the loudest voice in America objecting to it. George Bush wanted to turn over our port security to 10 of the most important ports in America to a company run out of Dubai. Dubai wanted to turn it over to Dubai, and I said no. And strangely enough, even Charles Schumer joined me in this. Came on the show because, as I said to you, politics makes strange bedfellows. It made good sense. Who in their right mind would turn over security of our ports to management in Dubai other than Dubai? Okay, so we had that victory. We stopped Harriet Myers from being appointed to the Supreme Court because she was sort of a nonentity. I'm almost sorry we did so because who did they put on instead? Wasn't it Roberts or something like that? Look what that led us to. Good God. So, you know, you don't know what victories lead to. You have to look things. You have to look at things in the entire scope of a long sequence of time, as Huxley wrote. Life must be lived forwards, but it can only be understood backwards. So you don't really know what the tally is going to be, you know. Anyway, I don't want to do a self-serving deal here. It'll start to sound like a steakhouse photo op, and I'm not going to do it. I'm too far into this to care about that at this point. This man suffered. He suffered because we have cowards running everything, and it was overturned. He's going to be out in a month. And you know what? You're going to thank the defense secretary currently in office, Mr. Hagel, for permitting this to happen, because I can guarantee it wouldn't have happened without him. And you may as well go the next step and say it probably went all the way up to the president's office. So while you're at it, thank Obama for it. And you can call me anything you want. I don't really care, because I'm not that kind of person where I say, well, someone has to be wrong on everything. That's ludicrous. That's like stupid. What if your worst political opponent does something that you agree with? Must you put him down anyway? Then you'll start to sound like Harry Reid or Obama. You can't think that way. All right, it's Friday. Lighten up. I hear the inner voice already screaming, lighten up. It's snowing in the East Coast. They don't even know what you're talking about. Maybe one out of 100,000 people understand what I'm saying right now, and we have to make it a more general program. So we'll open up to all the calls that you've been hanging on to make. I'm looking for a book, by the way, and search. Ah, here it is. Here it is. Oh, darn, I knocked the book over. You know what I have in my hand? When it's all over and I'm at the end of the road, remember we heard that Martin Luther King's children were fighting over his personal Bible and his Nobel Peace Prize, a medallion that the kids wanted to sell it off for a fortune? Ugh. I thought my Bible, my Holy Scriptures, with maybe 1,000 post-its in it with my notes, would be a great thing to auction off at the end of the road for charity. Well, I'm not ready to auction it off yet. But in my hand, I have the Holy Scriptures according to the Masoretic text, which is known as the Old Testament, to Christians who see their Bible as the New Testament. I just call it the Bible. And I have so many post-its that at any time I could flip to any one of them and come up with something appropriate for the news of the day. So I was saying to myself, what would the proper quote from the Bible be for a day like today? I mean, there's so many topics. Well, what do you mean? What are you referring to? Well, let's talk about a miracle such as this. A miracle. And you know what flipped open for me? I don't know if this relates to what Behenna went through in that jail cell, or is still going through, or for anyone in prison, for that matter, who keeps going without going insane. I turned to 1 Kings, a still small voice, because we've all heard the phrase, a still small voice. And today in America, most of us have been taught to be afraid of our still small voice. We drug it. We drown it out with music. We drown it out with too much food. We drown it out by running. We drown it out by shouting. But do we ever listen to our still small voice, I asked myself? And yet very few of us know where that came from. And it came from the Bible, a still small voice. It's not from Sigmund Freud. Even liberal humanists say, well, I always listen to the still small voice, at least I used to. But it's a biblical statement from 1 Kings where there was a cave and there was Elijah in the cave. And the voice says to him, what are you doing in the cave? And it goes on and on. And there was wind and there was a storm and then there was an earthquake. And he kept looking for God and there was no God. And then after the earthquake, there was a fire, but God was not in the fire. And then it says, but after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for God, the God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life and take it away. And God said to him, go return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you comest, thou shalt anoint Hazael to be king over Aram. And so forth and so on. It goes on with the whole story of the Bible, that story of the Bible of Elijah in the cave. But the point is, the words, a still small voice, that are used even in our current vernacular, is what came to mind. And I wonder if that's appropriate in any way. Who knows? Who knows? Jeff on WMAL, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Nice to talk to you. I'd like to ask you a point. You were categorizing the release of Lieutenant Behanna as a reversal of the injustice, and I believe the mother said that he was just being paroled. So I think we owe it to the brave military members that are fighting for this nation that if, in fact, he's only being paroled, that we ought to try to see if we can get his name cleared so that...
You are 1,000% correct, Jeff. That's a definite campaign. Let's get him out first. Let's pray to God that that goes through. Then we start a campaign to not only exonerate his name, but to compensate him for this injustice.
Thank you very much, sir, for your time and all you do.
Well, I don't do anything compared to the military. Nothing. All I do is think and talk. That's easy. This is the easy stuff. We're not great Americans. Anyone on radio says he's a great American belongs in a steakhouse with Newt Gingrich. No, the real great Americans are guys like Behanna. That's all. Give me... All right, Jacob on WABC in NYC. Jacob, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi. I want to say a quote from the Talmud, which is regarding what you were speaking about earlier, the murder of the giraffe and also the euthanizing of the...
Yeah, hold on, Jacob. Explain to the audience what the Talmud is because they don't know.
Okay. Well, the Talmud is a book which was, I'll say, compiled about 2,000 years ago, and it contains within it everything contained within it are ideas and laws derived from the original Torah that are actually contained in the original Torah. So basically any idea in the Talmud is actually from the Bible.
All right, so these are basically sayings derived from the Bible. And what are you referring to? When I talked about them killing an innocent giraffe for compassionate reasons, even though we all understand it's nothing but wanton slaughter by insane people. What were you going to say?
I was going to say that the Talmud says that the direct outcome of misplaced compassion is misplaced cruelty. And
outcome of misplaced compassion is misplaced cruelty. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's correct.
Wow. Well, I suppose you could find reason for all of the madness in the world today in the holy books. That's what you're saying. That's what keeps religious people going, is they find wisdom in the holy books. Thank you very much for the call. I don't want to get too into it because there's many areas that people don't understand, and I can't risk alienating or losing an entire audience on any issue, any one issue. I've got to keep it moving along. So let me give you something absurd. because it just came out in the news about an hour ago. I swear to God, this is so crazy. This is perfect for Valentine's Day, when you think about it. This story is perfect for Valentine's Day. Here's the headline. Earwax may reveal clues about a person's identity and habits. It turns out clues about a person's identity and ethnicity can come from a surprising source, earwax. Researchers from the Monell Chemical Sensor Center in Philadelphia analyzed earwax as a source of information based on previous studies in which researchers analyzed underarm odor to unlock clues about a person's identity. And they said this. This is an organic chemist said in the press release. Our previous research has shown that underarm odors can convey a great deal of information about an individual, including personal identity, gender, sexual orientation, and health status. He went on to say, we think it possible that earwax may contain similar information. So they studied 16 men. 8 of the men were Caucasian, while the remainder of the men were of East Asian descent. That's a code word for somewhere. I don't know what East Asian means anymore. Anyway, they tested the men's earwax samples. And then they heated the earwax samples to prompt them to produce odorous, volatile, organic compounds. And all of the men's earwax samples tested positive for VOCs. It's going to be the latest ad now on television. Are you emitting VOCs? Caucasian men had greater amounts of 11 out of the 12 VOCs tested compared to the men of East Asian origin. So what does that mean? Well, I don't know what it means. It says, in essence, we could obtain information about a person's ethnicity simply by looking in his ears. While the types of odorants were similar, the amounts were very different. And it said that earwax may be a source of even more clues about a person's identity and habits. Here's the bottom line. She said, odors in earwax may be able to tell us what a person has eaten and where they have been. And here's the punchline. Earwax is a neglected body secretion. This is already bordering on the absurd. Earwax is a neglected body secretion whose potential as an information source has yet to be explored. All right, we'll talk about earwax and sexuality when we return to the Savage Nation.
George.
Una mezza mara. Figlia mia.
Figlia mia, cosa dare, mamma mia.
Mamma mia, pensa tu.
Figlio,
I can't pronounce all these words. It's for, hold it, stop the music. I'm singing this for Valentine's Day for all of my female listeners who need a man in their life who can sing to them. Men don't sing anymore. In my day, men sang. Even when they were miserable, happy, they'd sing. Guys of my father's generation sang. I don't sing, but I do it on the air. Cenna Luna Mezzamare. What is the song? It's Lazy Mary is the name of the song, but it's actually in a strange way a love song, I think. Quote me on this. I don't know the... Oh, here it is. Lazy Mary, you better get up. She answered back, I'm not able. Lazy Mary, you better get up. We need the sheets for the table. Lazy Mary, you smoke in bed. There's only one man you should marry. My advice to you would be is to pay attention to me. You'd better marry a fireman. He'll come and go, go and come. So it is a love song. They just need the sheet for some reason, and she smokes in bed. So let's start... Lazy Mary again, Cenna Luna Mezzamare on the Savage Nation. Sing along, follow the bouncing mortadella.
Mamma mia, mamma mia,
figlia mia.
Figlia mia,
cosa dare, mamma mia, pensa tu.
Sette
figlio, lupe, I can't do that word. It's a beautiful song. Sing along. Follow the bouncing calamari. Follow the bouncing mozzarella ball. Everyone sing along. Follow the bouncing mozzarella ball. Cenna Luna.
Cenna Luna Mezzumara.
Mare, mamma mia, mamma dare. Figlia mia, cosa dare?
Figlia mia, cosa dare, mamma mia, pensaccia tu.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE.
It is 34 minutes after the hour across America. You're listening to the Savage Nation. And we had a good day today. I can't say that every day in talk radio is a good day. Today was a good day. When you hear that a Lieutenant Behan is coming out of jail because of public pressure, but primarily because of his mother, and primarily because the military knows it made a mistake, you got to say it's a good day. And I made a commitment on the air. I'm not going to backtrack. It's going to happen. His mother said when he gets out, he has to rebuild his life that was stolen from him. He needs clothing and a car. I'm going to buy him a car. If you want to help, you go to, oh, I lost the website already, Michael. DefendMichael.com. That's not for me. That's for him. I'm making that commitment. I'm not going to go to a steakhouse and buy myself a $1,000 bottle of wine to make believe I'm doing something for humanity. I'm going to give him a car. All right, let's go to the calls on the Savage Nation. Here's an email from the gentleman who runs TalkStream Live. And it says, tell Michael Savage hello and congrats. He sent it to Joe Farah on his terrific streaming results in 2013. Both Savage and Rush topped the TSL rankings 2 quarters each. Savage is the only talk show host to ever top Rush, although Rush narrowly edged Michael in the year-long cumulative outcome. Michael made it a very competitive contest and secured a solid second-place finish. BTW, Savage has solidly and significantly bested Wallbanger head-to-head daily on TSL. Tell Michael thanks for his on-air mentions of TalkStream Live in the TSL ranking reports, Tom. Well, I didn't rig it. I mean, it is what it is. So there are people who like the show. That's all. That's all that matters is that I get the strength to do it every day. And some days I don't think I can do it. Some days I can't wait to do it. The beauty of talk radio is that it's a long process, and you have to see it as a lengthy process, almost a process without end. 1 in 4 Americans unaware that Earth circles sun. Now you understand why we have the politicians we have. 1 in 4 Americans do not know that the Earth goes around the sun, but they have the right to vote themselves tax increases. And now you understand how demagogues can simply say that there's inequality while hanging around with the 1%. They did a survey. The NSF did it, the National Science Foundation. And only 3/4 of respondents knew that the Earth revolved around the sun. Did you hear this? 1/4 of Americans do not know that the Earth goes around the sun, but they know that the 1% steal from them. They know that there's inequality, and they know that Mayor de Blasio knows how to move snow around New York City. 855-400-Savage. Let's go to the calls. Maria in Billings, Montana on KYYA. Maria, thanks for calling the program. What's on your mind?
Michael, they need the sheets for the table because they got to set up the restaurant. I'm calling to tell you, Lazy Mary.
Oh, so that's the translation of Lazy Mary.
Yeah.
Shenna Luna Mezzamare. So he's saying to her, get up because you're sleeping in bed. That's it?
She's sleeping in bed. She smokes all day. She's lazy. She's got to get out. She's got to get a man. She's got to get married.
And Maria, isn't this the song that in the movie The Godfather, Don Corleone's mother sang at the wedding?
I don't know.
How do you know the lyrics? Do you speak Italian fluently?
I'm not fluent, but I know the song because I grew up with all that music.
So you're in Billings, Montana. That means you're in witness protection with your husband, I guess.
I wish. I'm a lazy Mary. You got to...
Whenever I get a fluent Italian speaker calling me from somewhere west of the Hudson River, I just assume it's witness protection. And they're just hungering for the old country.
Beautiful.
They missed the Scungili on Mulberry Street.
Huh?
Thanks for the call. No one knows what Scungili is. It's a really rare dish. You know, I only had it once in my life. I knew it was served in New York, of course, but I never ate it, really. It's like a weird clam of some kind, a giant clam. I had Scungili, of all places, I believe in Las... No, I know where I had it. Wait. In Beverly Hills, California, there is a restaurant that's obscure. It's not even in Beverly Hills. It's up on a mountain, very little known. They're from New Jersey. It's a very good food place up there. And I had Scungili in it, in Beverly Glen, actually. It's in a little shopping center. That's an amazing place altogether. They have a nightclub where people perform. It's a real amazing place. I don't get there often anymore. I wish I could go to L.A. again. I don't travel. I'm like a shut-in. I don't go anywhere. I should do the show out of New York, Chicago, Tallahassee, Dallas. You know, I should move around the country. But I don't travel. Then I'm going to wind up in a steakhouse with Newt Gingrich after the show, and that's the... That's the last thing I... See, that's the problem is once you leave your comfort zone and you're on the road, I don't know how people do it. I don't know how they do it. I read of a guy who just left the media. And, Jay Leno. Jay Leno retired, or they fired him. I don't know. God bless him. He's doing 100 live performances before the end of the year. How does a guy do that? I don't get it. Whatever. You live in it's hard to do it. No matter what hotel you're in, it can't be fun. Nope. Anyway. 855. You want to talk about gun laws, knockout game, earwax, singing, DHS buying ammo. Should felons vote? Obama again. Again, Obama. Oh, I can't do it one more day. He's talking about global warming today. That's perfect. Right? Just perfect. What a day to talk about global warming. You want to do it with the blast on top of a snowplow. It reminds me of a Mad comic. This whole administration is like watching. It's like a living Mad comic talking about inequality while hosting a $500,000 dinner for the president of France. Talking about inequality, Michelle buys a $12,000 dress from Marie Antoinette's time in design. I mean, it's like, this is Alfred E. Newman. This is Mad comic. Obama's entire administration is like a giant Mad comic. Someone ought to do a Mad comic on this administration. I think someone would buy it. I do it verbally every day. It's like a Mad comic. All right, let's take some calls. On the felon voting, let's go to WBAP in the great state of Texas. Mike, welcome to the show. Thank you for holding on. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage. It's an honor and a privilege to speak to you this afternoon.
Well, thank you. So what's the topic today?
The topic is, Mr. Savage, that I am a convicted felon. 22 years ago, I was fresh out of combat and a military veteran who was married. And make a long story short, got a divorce and ended up getting into a fisticuff with my ex-wife's lover. The courts here in Texas decided to give me an aggravated assault charge with a deadly weapon. I served 2.5 years in the Texas prison system on a 5-year sentence. After I got out after 2.5 years, I finished parole and moved on with my life, got myself back together. I now own a small trucking company here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I have 8 employees. I'm a Tea Party conservative, and I have my voting rights back here in Texas. And I don't think that the saying goes that sometimes actions define a man. Sometimes.
No, absolutely not. I'm on record as of yesterday saying that if it was a nonviolent offense. I have a question for you, though. Why did they say assault with a deadly weapon? Were your fists the deadly weapon?
Yes, sir. Because of my military background, I was considered to be the military, invested over $1 million in me and sent me off to the first Gulf War.
That's utter nonsense. I understand that a trained professional boxer, by the way, if he uses his fist in an altercation with a civilian, those fists are considered assault with a deadly weapon. Truthfully, I didn't know it applied to ex-military. I don't know if that's true, but you're telling me it is.
Yes, sir. In my case, it was. The judge felt that because of my military background and extensive training in...
In other words, so if you were a wimp who ran away screaming, the judge would have found in your favor.
Yes, sir. I guess so.
If you ran off screaming, help, 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 and blew a whistle or pressed a button for the ACLU, the judge would have been on your side.
Absolutely.
Well, look, you're a real man, and real men are an endangered species in America. So what you're saying is, yes, ex-felons like yourself should be able to vote. Aren't you saying you can vote, though, Mike?
Yes, sir. I have my full voting rights returned to me. I have been, I only have that one thing on my record. It was a scar on my testament to my hard work and dedication to my community and my life and my family name, but it was very difficult, but I've managed to pick up and move on, and I have my vote.
Well, God, I'm glad things worked out for you, but I want to be on record again, Mike. I agree with Rand Paul, who's pushing forward a bill which says non-violent. Now, did they say that was a violent felony that you committed?
Yes, sir. It actually is. And for about 10 to 12 years, I couldn't even rent an apartment. I couldn't have a checking account. Life was very difficult after I finished my 2.5 years left on parole. It was very difficult. And if it wasn't for the...
The moral of the story is you should let a lawyer do your fighting for you. See? That's what they want you to think. In other words, don't stand up for yourself. If you catch your girlfriend or wife in bed with another man, what you should do is what? Go to a lawyer instead of punching him in the nose? In France, they would give you the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Maybe I could be
honest. I believe that to this day in Italy, if a man, I'm not sure, it was not until too long ago, that if a man in a fit of passion, let us say, assaulted a wife or girlfriend's lover, it was not considered a crime, incidentally. It depends upon the country. Of course, in San Francisco, as you know, everything is upside down, so I won't make a bad joke right now, but I'm really glad of one thing, Mike, is that you're a free man, you're contributing to society more so than most of us, and you have all of your rights restored, and I know you held a long time to make your point, and I thank you very much for that call. It was an enlightening call at that, because there was something in it. It was an enlightening call, by the way. WABC in New York, Bobby, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
How you doing, Dr. Savage? Thank you for taking my call. I stumbled on you about 6 months ago, and I'm addicted to you.
I know. I am I'm an addictive personality.
Yeah. Well, I am too, unfortunately. I was wondering, are they going to use this earwax? I had to give it a saliva test.
Wait, Bobby, let's slow down. This is a family show. You're not going to go beyond the saliva, are you?
No, don't worry. Don't worry.
Okay, all right. So it's saliva. Now let's cut it off at that. And what's the question?
The question was, who funded this? And what was...
Let's see. All right, the study on earwax revealing clues about a person's identity and habits, including their sexual orientation, was funded by the Monell Chemical Census Center in Philadelphia to analyze earwax.
Oh,
and it was, I don't know, some research group. And it says that earwax as a bodily secretion has a potential to be an information source to tell us what a person has eaten and where they have been, and more than that, clues about a person's identity and habits. I mean, I have heard about pheromones for years. You know what those are, right?
No.
You know what pheromones are? Like when a man sweats after exercise, he gives off pheromones. And they're said to drive women crazy. So I'm not suggesting that men give up showering after going to the gym. But, you know, you don't want to smell I don't like cologne myself. I can't be around it. It gets me ill. I don't think women like cologne on men. I feel like going to like a car lot. You can't even touch the handles of certain car lots after the sale. And mainly it's Middle Eastern salesmen. Overindulge in cologne. I don't know what that is, a cultural thing. Maybe they're covering up some odor from the earwax. I don't get it. Maybe there's heavy earwax odor from areas of Iran that I don't know about. But you go to a car lot run by gentlemen from that country, you cannot touch the door handle without that cologne sticking to your hand for days. So now this is interesting, the earwax thing. Does that mean earwax is now a sexual attractant? Is that what they're suggesting? So some perfume company is going to what? Now go to a guy's earwax and devise a perfume out of it? I don't get this anymore. They're trying to like rig everything according to the animal. Or who knows? I don't even want to think about it. It can tell what you ate by your earwax. Well, okay, it can open up a whole line of jokes that are bad. They'd be all bad jokes. So let's move on to something less important. 855-407-2282 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. We're doing good today. We're doing good. We, again, want to remind you, the website is www.defendmichael.com. If you want to help Lieutenant Behenna get back on his feet, send him some money. I'll be right back. It is 55 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. Parole granted, Michael Behenna is coming home. And I made a commitment today to buy him a new car. That's what I'm going to do. And I hope you go to Michael, defendmichael.com, and make a donation. It's the least we can do for this guy. Maybe it'll send a shock of morale through the military that people do care and that we're not just like some people in the government. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, it's that kind of day. I can go to sleep tonight and say, you know what? Despite it all, we can make a little bit of a difference. It's that simple. I mean, there's a lot of topics. This is a good one. And I hope other talk show hosts get in on this, and I'm sure they will. And I hope they try to raise the stakes and outdo me. I hope they do. Everyone should. Jay on WMAL, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Professor Goomba.
want to see you.
What's on your mind tonight, Jay?
I figured you'd be the only one who got that one. I wanted to tell you, when I was a kid, you were talking a little earlier about the guy that beat up the cheater on his wife.
Yeah, well, he went to jail 2 years. He was thrown in prison for beating the guy up.
That was a travesty of justice. And the reason I say that, when I was a kid, I grew up in Berkeley, California, of all places. And me and my friend were about 11 or 12. I don't know how old we were. Probably about 11. Sitting on the front porch. And we heard a whole lot of deleted expletive coming from across the street. But we were just, I don't know, for some reason we weren't paying too much attention. We heard some pops. You know, like, we thought they were firecrackers or something. And this guy comes running out of the house, and he's all shot up, jumps in his car. And he had a, I'm not exaggerating, this guy had like a 55 Chevy or something like that.
And what was he shot for, cheating on the guy's wife?
That's what happened. The guy came home, shot.
And was the shooter arrested?
This was the weird thing. I don't think that he was, because what happened.
Well, he's probably the mayor of Berkeley today, I would guess. Talking about global warming and inequality. Hello, infidels. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
To the Savage Nation. So now CBS has a scientist on that blames global warming on the winter on global warming. And he gives the mumbo jumbo. Michio Kaku, a physics professor from New York City College, who's not a climatologist, says that the wacky weather is going to get even wackier. It's because of global warming. And it's because the jet stream and the polar vortex are becoming unstable. And he goes on, he says, because of the gradual heating up of the North Pole is melting. So these lunatics, locked into the fraud of global warming, have an answer for everything. Warming causes warming. Warming causes cooling. Warming causes floods. Warming causes droughts. It's right out of Orwell. It's just out of Orwell. Now you understand why one out of four Americans do not understand that the Earth rotates around the sun. These are the same people who probably buy the gobbledygook that it's all because of warming. Because the fact of the matter is, science doesn't support any of this. It's not true. The polar vortex does not affect directly the surface weather. Because the polar vortex is an upper atmosphere system, not one that impacts directly on the surface of the Earth. That's number one. I don't want to go into the specifics, but it's nonsense. The Weather Channel itself notes that the upper atmosphere system sometimes shifts, helping to sweep weather systems in the lower atmosphere to drift farther afield from more common patterns. So it's nonsense. And yet they're locked into this ludicrous lie, the big lie. As Goebbels said, if you tell a big lie often enough, it becomes the truth. And so Obama is now on the road telling the big lie about global warming in the midst of the greatest example of global cooling that we've seen in a lifetime. And they won't stop because there's too much money involved and too much potential government control. But don't call me on that. I just want to tell you about it to show you why one out of four Americans don't even understand that the sun moves around the Earth moves around the sun. Yep, ignoramuses. 855-407-282 is the phone number on the Savage Nation. If you care to join the conversation, as many have done. At the beginning of the show, we talked about the knockout game, where a group of black youths attacked a disabled white veteran in Cleveland, screaming, "Knock out that white boy." Listen to clip number one. Clip one.
What
it's
they were
terrible.
Saying was, "Knock this boy out, white boy cracker." They were saying, "Knock this white boy out." I'm just thinking, you know, pretty much protect myself and don't let anybody get behind you. Nobody stepped in to help. So I thought it was a shame. No, no one should have to deal with that type of racism or ridicule. I think there should be jail time for an assault. I mean, who's to say that, you know, your mother or your sister couldn't be on the bus and the same thing could happen there?
Now, ask yourself why there are so many attacks on whites going on in America over the last few months. Where do you think it's coming from? Where would these ignoramuses get the idea that there's a justification for attacking white people? Where is it coming from? You want several different sources that it's coming from? How about Obama's constant harping on inequality, the 1%, code words? How about Holder harping on inequality, the 1%, code words? How about de Blasio harping on inequality, the 1%, code words? You say, well, you're a rational person. You don't think they're saying it, but these people, like these kids, they're not rational. They have no rational capacity. This is a pure gut reaction to the hatred being spewed by this administration that has thrived, frankly, on division and, frankly, very soft-core racism on a daily basis. These are code words. So the kids figure, all right, they're saying it will do it. Then you've got Louis Farrakhan getting up saying that the white race should be exterminated, which we played. I know you don't want to hear it again, but for this to go out and people not say a word about it is shocking. Listen to clip number 20 from the Nation of Islam, where he says that we will be removed, white people will be removed from the face of the earth. Listen carefully.
According to the history of the white race, they are guilty of making trouble, causing war among the people and themselves ever since they have been on our planet Earth. So the God of the righteous has found them disagreeable to live with in peace and has decided to remove them from the face of the earth.
Now, if we had a rational Justice Department, they would have said something about this. I recognize we live in a land where the First Amendment prevails. I understand that very well. But this is a little different than the First Amendment. The First Amendment does not permit you to yell fire in a crowded movie theater. The First Amendment does not permit you to stir people up to an act of violence. To me, this crossed the line, and this is not protected by the First Amendment. This is a code word that goes out to these uneducated people running around our streets and says to them, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it, and old Louis Farrakhan will approve of it. And when a government looks the other way, anything might happen. So this is a very dangerous time. Knock that white boy out. Arrest made after mob of teens attacked disabled veteran. They finally made some arrests, but you want to hear a total irony of it all? I don't even have the right word for it. The article comes out on a website called CBS Cleveland. Knock that white boy out. Arrest made after mob of teens attacked disabled vet. Not only did they not identify the teens as being of African descent, but they show a file photo of a man in handcuffs, and his hands are of a white man with tattoos on his hands, to show you how far the insanity has gone in this country. The fools in the media are so protective that they had the nerve to put a pair of white hands in handcuffs, as if to imply the hate crime was conducted by a white man. I'm just trying to straighten the things out here. I mean, this is crazy. Just crazy. This is a big story. This is just crazy. It's a crazy story. You don't want to hear it. I get it. Let's go to the callers. Lexington, Kentucky. John on the Savage Nation. Fire away.
Dr. Savage, I recall that President Obama was describing his grandmother, who he claimed if she saw a black man walking towards her on a sidewalk, she'd walk to the other side of the street to get on the other sidewalk. And I'm thinking that she was a little prophetic, that maybe she knew what was going to happen if she stayed on the same sidewalk as the black man.
Well, I can't comment on that because it'll get me in trouble. But, you know, Obama knows what he's doing with his, let us say, economic warfare, class warfare. But this is their stock and trade. This is how the Dems get elected and stay elected. It's through class warfare and through basically stirring up the pot. Race against race, class against class, gay against straight, straight against gay. This is what they do on a daily basis. And it's unhealthy for the nation, in plain English. It's unhealthy for a nation. WABC New York City, Anthony, fire away on the knockout games, so-called. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dr. Savage, you may be Uncle Vinny, but I look at you with the Godfather of Talk Radio. Doc, listen, you do a little bit of research, and you kind of follow step by step. And this is par for the course for what the agenda is. And these attacks are the furthest thing from random. Our elements in our government are so ready for a civil unrest with the police getting militarized and all these police departments getting all this decommissioned military stuff. So they're waiting for something. And I just can't help but draw a correlation.
So you feel that the government is actually organizing these attacks in order to provoke a reaction by some white men so they can then crack down and call it an insurrection and seize guns or something like that? Is that what you're implying, Anthony?
110%, Dr. Savage.
All right, I can't comment because the New York Times might disapprove of me. They may say that I'm crazy and stirring up hatred amongst the unwashed masses. And I can't afford that, as you well know. They love me so much right now. I can't afford to lose my place in their constellation of respect. 855-400-7282. Dan on WABC in New York. You're next up. Fire away.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Savage. Good to talk to you again. I was just calling to refute about a week or two ago, a lady had called and was mentioning Kant, the great German philosopher, and tried to link him with the downfall of Western civilization. It's actually quite the opposite. His philosophy with the Enlightenment actually delegitimized the role of the church and the state, and it's quite classical liberalism as opposed to the if it feels good, do it, why not do it in the road type of liberalism that you speak of today.
So you're saying Immanuel Kant was not the demon that she said he was in that sense?
No, no, not at all, quite not. Also, as far as socially, if you want to get into socialist issues, as you say, you're a sexual libertarian, you could actually think of Kant as a theological libertarian. He was not against religion. To him, indeed, it didn't affect him.
That's very interesting, a theological libertarian. I like that.
I just came up with that. Thank you.
That's a good phrase, a theological libertarian. In other words, let us say, believe as you will.
As so long as it doesn't breach... come into the sphere of imposing that on others.
No, you're right. And that's why I declared myself a sexual libertarian many years ago, because I've been misunderstood all these years. And I believe that a person's sexuality is very private, very personal, and their own damn business.
Quite.
The only line I would draw is a state sanctioning behaviors that go against the survival of the species and against the children. That's where I draw the line. I'll let people conclude what they may by that statement. But I thank you for being an enlightened caller to the Savage Nation. Despite what my critics might say, this is the most enlightened radio talk show in America. And we get some of the greatest callers, by the way. Again, if you care to join the conversation, you know the number. The website's michaelsavage.com. We're talking about all the topics of the day on the program. And when we come back, we'll continue this conversation. Again, please go to my website and make a donation to Michael Behenna's Fund. We have it now up on the top right. I have a few seconds to tell you about it. It says, donate today. Falsely accused Army Ranger to be paroled. It goes directly to his website, not through me. I don't touch a penny. I don't want a penny. I'm not trying to take anything off the top. Zero. It goes right to them, okay? Just don't confuse me with the steakhouse gang. And so, therefore, go right to that. It'll connect you right up to them. Okay, I'm not going to go to Ruth's Chris for a meal on this. I wouldn't so much as buy a chiclet with the money, okay? Because it doesn't, I don't get it. I don't need the Dom Perignon in order to show that I'm a, a good guy and I give a big tip. Give it to him. I'm buying him a car. I don't know what I'm going to get him yet. Get him some new car, that's all. Wouldn't it be nice to give him a new start in life? And again, if you got a job for him, that would be better. It's the Savage Nation. We can make a difference together. Be here or be nowhere. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282.
This is the Savage Nation. It's open mic to mic Friday. There are many stories. Let's begin this segment with another knockout game out of Cleveland where a black teen mob attacked a disabled white veteran and beat him up in Cleveland, screaming, knock out that white boy. Listen to clip one.
What they were saying was, knock this boy out, white boy, cracker. They were saying, knock this white boy out. I'm just thinking, you know, pretty much protect myself and don't let anybody get behind you. Nobody stepped in to help. So I thought it was a shame. No, no one should have to deal with that type of racism or ridicule. I think there should be jail time for an assault. I mean, who's to say that, you know, your mother or your sister couldn't be on the bus, and the same thing can happen there.
Well, you can see why black teens might get the idea that it's okay to beat up crackers, because amongst their leaders are demagogues like High Jackson, Sharpton, Obama, Holder. But not to be outdone is their cousin Louis Farrakhan, who said that, oh, you didn't hear that one? Let's play clip 20. You'll
according
see why the,
to the history
game is going
of the
on.
White race, they are guilty of making trouble, causing war among the people and themselves ever since they have been on our planet Earth. So the God of the righteous has found them disagreeable to live with in peace and has decided to remove them from the face of the earth.
So Louis Farrakhan says God has decided to remove white people from the face of the earth. The morons in the streets take that to mean attack white people. You see, there is cause and effect between actual hate speech and actual acts of hatred, as opposed to legitimate political criticism, legitimate opposition to a communist regime. That's not hate speech, because I've analyzed this for years. I'm an educated man. I know what Marxism is. People who've lived through it know what it is, and I don't need the New York Times to tell me I'm right or wrong. They need me to tell them what's right or wrong. Do they have a greater authority than I do? Break it down. Does the New York Times have a greater authority on any subject related to politics than I? Why would they? How would they? After all, who are they but just people? Break it down. The New York Times consists of people. So therefore, it's just their opinion. So why should their opinion trump my opinion? Well, in fact, it doesn't. There are other topics that are, I think, are worth talking about. And the euthanasia law in Belgium. It's a shocking story. Belgium has said children should be able to execute themselves if they're unhappy with life or they're suffering a terminal illness. They should just be able to have themselves euthanized. Now, there was the most brilliant counterpoint to this was in the Washington Post by Eugene Kantorovich. And here's what he argued, and I'll try to summarize it simply. Right now in America, as you well know, we cannot put children criminals to death. They cannot be ascribed the death penalty because it's been said that they're not responsible for their actions. And this came from Europe. It came from Europe originally, where they taught us, as dumb heathen Americans, that minors are not responsible for their actions. America was then labeled a human rights violator, an international criminal. And so the Americans caved into this pressure, citing this European position as support for its conclusion that, hey, other countries do not allow execution of children because they're not responsible for their actions, right? Well, now he asks, well, then how can a 17-year-old rapist murderer not face capital punishment? Well, because as Justice Kennedy wrote in a 5-4 decision, science has shown that minors, even 17-year-olds, are too immature to truly understand the consequences of their decisions or the meaning of life and death. He said that juveniles are prone to impetuous and ill-considered actions, and they should not be made to lose their life for even if the action involved taking the life of another. Now, that's a liberal position. Isn't that very progressive? Really? Well, then, how can the Europeans now argue, as they are in Belgium, that children are responsible enough to decide that they should die, where the Netherlands now allows euthanasia as young as age 12? This is progressivism. This is the end line of humanism. This is exactly what it's all about. I am the uncle of talk radio. I am the uncle that everyone used to have in their family when Sunday dinners were still, let us say, part of the American landscape.
Join us.
All you animal lovers out there, get ready to throw up. A second Danish zoo announced plans to kill another young giraffe and throw the animal to the lions because its gene pool is overrepresented in Europe. That's right. Again, despite the death threats and worldwide disgust when the Copenhagen Zoo in Denmark executed two-year-old giraffe Morius to prevent inbreeding on Sunday, now a second Danish zoo in the country plans to kill a giraffe, saying it's in the animal's best interest. Now, what's amazing to me is that people are willing to take the giraffes in. They're willing to put them in other zoos. But these liberal fascists in Denmark seem intent upon killing another innocent giraffe because they don't want inbreeding. They kill the animal and throw its flesh to the lions in front of passerbys, which include children. Now, this is a very liberal nation. Denmark is extremely liberal, very progressive, very high on the progressive scale, and lacking humanity, very much like Nazi Germany in its heyday. Very, very high on the progressive scale. I know you say, wait a minute, whoa, now you're mixing things up. No, I'm not. National Socialism, Nazism, National Socialism. Hitler's party was the National Socialist Party. Nazism was very high on the progressive scale, and as you well know, extremely low on the human being scale. Well, we have a repeat now, only because they're not wearing swastikas, you're being hoodwinked. What's interesting within that interest is the fact that Denmark is considered one of the most progressive, liberal nations in Europe. After all, don't they give out heroin to junkies? Didn't they start by giving out clean needles to junkies, saying it would reduce the risk of disease? San Francisco's not far behind. Now they're giving out crack pipes, again under the guise of humanitarianism. Let's go to the big stuff. Did you hear or not? The Ninth Circuit Court of Schlemiels in California, the most liberal court in the land, has just said that law-abiding citizens can carry concealed firearms in public. It's a huge story. You can't talk about it, though, because there's nothing to say. It's an upsetter. It's a huge upset. Bigger story than how much money was spent in a steakhouse. The court struck down California's law limiting concealed weapons. And it was a 2-1 decision, by the way. It was only three of the judges on the panel. It was a 2-1 decision. And the majority was written by Judge D'Armwood O'Scanlan, which is a great Gaelic name. And he said the right to bear arms includes the right to carry an operable firearm outside the home for the lawful purpose of self-defense. So now, he disagreed with other federal appeals courts that have upheld similar laws in New York, New Jersey, and Maryland, right? So this is now a split among appellate courts. That means the U.S. Supreme Court will take up the issues. I wouldn't immediately assume that the Supreme Court's going to strike down the limitation on concealed weapons, by the way. I think that the Supreme Court might surprise you on this issue. Do you know that in 2008, the Supreme Court ruled that the Second Amendment protects the right to keep a handgun in the home for self-defense? But the Supreme Court has not addressed its application to carrying weapons in public. One thing you can be sure of, even if the Supreme Court said you can carry a weapon in public, Woody Allen will not carry a weapon in public. But gunophobia is a very serious problem. Not a joking matter, but this really came up. I went to look at a house. I look at houses as one of the things I do here in the Bay Area. And a house came up for sale that Woody Allen had filmed the movie Blue Jasmine in Marin County. So I went to look at it, and I was joking with the realtor, and I said, the realtor proudly showed me a picture of Woody Allen in the house filming Blue Jasmine. So I said, is there a secret room somewhere in the house that I shouldn't go into? No one thought it was a joke. No one thought it was funny. I thought it was a funny joke. I mean, anywhere Woody Allen went, I just was afraid maybe that he left a girl locked somewhere in a basement. I'm joking. Come on now. I thought it was a funny. No one laughed. Everyone got very rigid when I said it. Is that such a terrible thing to say when you see a picture of Woody Allen in a property? And now we're going to go to all of the other stories in the Savage Nation, which includes your calls at 855-407-282. But I want to say something first. I'm going to do a diversion. I am well known for my interest in other things than politics, science, poetry, art, medicine, nutrition, and I can speak of them with a certain degree of authority. But I want to talk about art for 1 minute. Now, don't hang the phone up. I mean, even if you like Duck Dynasty, you have occasionally gone into a museum. I'm sure you wouldn't find it to be too off the beaten track if your wife wanted you to go into an art museum. Well, I hang out in art museums, not as much as I'd like to, but I did when I was a youngster, as a poor kid. I found refuge amongst great art. It was my cathedral. So I went to the De Young Museum, and I saw a Georgia O'Keeffe exhibit that's opening up. And I must tell you, it was very disappointing. I'm going to make this very short and sweet for those of you who love art and love my take on it. Just for whatever it is, the Georgia O'Keeffe exhibit was very... Here's what I wrote. She lacks imagination, and it's repetitive. In the 50s, she was criticized, and her work's been called calendar art or pictures from a high-class tourist brochure, which is what it struck me as. Now, I thought I liked Georgia O'Keeffe because there's a statue by Marisol of her in bronze. It's a statue of Georgia O'Keeffe sitting with two chow dogs, but it's not by Georgia O'Keeffe. It's by Marigold. It's one of the finest pieces of sculpture in San Francisco sitting in a park that no one knows about but me. When they were still putting real art in the parks before they started to put up rejected girders from knockdown highways that they gave their boyfriends, you know, a $50 million grant for. There's some pretty good art around the city. Anyway, the George O'Keeffe exhibit, eh. And then there was a cocktail party for donors. Horrible. They're skimping. There were no shrimp, number one. It was so cheap. It was like a very bad bar mitzvah. Normally at these donor parties, I used to go, then I got mad at them for being so out of town. the museum. I stopped going for years. I decided to go again. The wine was two buck chuck wine, and the hors d'oeuvres were horrendous, like beef on a stick. It looked like from a truck, like truck food. You know the kind of like skewers that you'd get on a Peruvian food truck? I swear to God. It's like beef, low-grade beef from a Peruvian food truck. And the rest were like nuts and fruit. But it didn't stop the liberals from elbowing each other over the nuts and the fruit. I don't like art hounds. Basically, art hounds disgust me. None of them ever don't have a shred of art in them, and they all think that because they go to a museum, suddenly they're an artist. But anyway, all right, put all of that, my bitterness aside. Don't tell me I'm the only one who feels this way. You know, you can categorize me any way you want, but the fact of the matter is I know what I'm talking about. If you're thinking of going to the Georgia O'Keeffe exhibit, go. It's calendar art or high-class tourist brochure work. I found nothing in it. That's all. Now let's move on. Here's another example of what's coming out of the Low Countries, and believe me, they are low countries. It has a new meaning, the Low Countries. Belgian lawmakers clash over child euthanasia bill. Belgian lawmakers clashed sharply on Wednesday over whether to grant terminally ill children the right to ask to die, a legal option already possessed by the country's adults. The issue is pitting backers who see it as a question of mercy against opponents who claim the law is rushed, flawed, and lacking medical rationale. So here is Karine Lalloux, a socialist member of the House of Representatives. Who else would be for it? Again, anyone who's a socialist is by definition an anti-humanist and an anti-life person. She says our responsibility is to allow everybody to live, but also to die in dignity. So now they want it to apply to minors under 18. In fact, younger if possible. And all that will be needed is the signature of King Philippe, normally a formality. The only other countries to have legalized euthanasia are two of Belgium's neighbors, the Netherlands and Luxembourg. Again, very high liberal quotient, very low human quotient. In the Netherlands, children between 12 and 15 may be euthanized with parents' permission, while those who are 16 or 17 must notify their parents beforehand. So do you think your 16-year-old should have the right to say, I'm depressed, I want to die, and go to some psychotic clinic who injects them with some euthanasia potion? Here's an interesting question, by the way, for all of you liberals. We keep seeing challenges to the death penalty here in America on the false appeal that the cocktail being given to the rapists, murderers, whatever, is not humane because it doesn't contain sufficient amounts of a sedative or whatever. So why don't we just use the euthanasia formula from the Netherlands on our death row inmates? Can't we just order the Netherlands or Luxembourg to send over a case of it over to San Quentin? And now we'll know that it's, I mean, if it's good enough for the children in the Netherlands, liberals say that it's a good enough, they have a potion, let's say, that euthanizes kids, and it's a humane potion. They don't feel any pain from it. Can't we just get a case of it over here in all of our prisons and put an end to this death penalty appeal business? It's about time. To guarantee that sick children understand what euthanasia signifies, Belgium's proposed legislation requires they demonstrate to a so-called psychologist or so-called psychiatrist that they possess the capacity of discernment. Nobody knows what the capacity of discernment is. They have no idea what a capacity of discernment means. As with adults who seek euthanasia, the children would have to be in a state of unrelieved suffering, be afflicted with a terminal illness, and be near death. Foes of the law in the House said the proposal was full of holes. One said, can you tell me what a state of discernment means? Another lawmaker in Belgium said, does near death mean 3 days, 3 weeks, or 6 months? So there it is. Discernment of a child now. They'll determine whether they should be. You get the picture. It's a great world, really. Liberalism is a fabulous, fabulous philosophy. Okay, let's go to this country. Rand Paul drafts bill to restore voting rights for ex-cons. We covered this on the show under Holder giving a speech, our attorney general, saying that felons should be able to vote once they've paid their penalty to society. Holder said that state laws that bar felons from voting are not only unnecessary and unjust, they're counterproductive, blah, 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 blah. And so Holder, the liberal, wants former felons to be able to vote. So we argued over it. I was shocked to see that Rand Paul drafted a bill to restore voting rights for ex-cons. Political figures strongly opposed on other issues found common ground yesterday at the Georgetown University Law Center as Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky and A.G. Eric Holder both voiced support for restoring voting rights to some ex-convicts. Rand Paul is working on a bill referred to as the Civil Rights Voting Restoration Act. Boy, does that sound liberal. That would apply to federal elections, he said during a speech at the law center. Here's what Rand Paul said. We think that if you had a nonviolent felony, we're forgetting your voting rights, said the senator. I agree with him on that, by the way. I even said that on the show. I have no problem with it. If you have a nonviolent felony, you should be have the right to vote after you pay your penalty. But I think Democratic Attorney Eric Holder wants anyone who is an ex-con to get the right to vote. And he'll probably push it so that people in prison have the right to vote. I know it's a big topic. You don't care. I'll throw it in the gar. Wait, these are single-sided. I can recycle them. I can recycle these six pages. See, I don't go to $5,000 dinners. I recycle paper. I wear the same pair of pants day in and day out. I mean, I wash them. Don't get me wrong. I like a fancy car. I like a very powerful, expensive car. I like the insulation of a powerful car. And I do like certain things. I don't spend a lot of money. People who know me know I'm austere and frugal in my spending. You know? Did you know that? I'm austere and frugal. I don't know what that is. I think it's my poor background. I could never come up to the level of being a lavish spender. I'm a big tipper, but a very frugal spender. How do you feel about ex-felons getting the right to vote? That's a really big topic if you want to talk about it. My position is quite clear. It's exactly the same as Rand Paul. Nonviolent felons should have the right to vote after they serve their time. Why not? I don't know why not. I mean, I said nonviolent felons. Because I had a caller who said he was in prison for 2 years for overuse of prescription drugs. He wasn't a dealer. He just got hooked on prescription drugs. Well, it happens to people. Things happen. And I said, well, why shouldn't a man get his right to vote? Why not? I don't understand that. So does anyone disagree with that? I didn't say all felons. I said nonviolent offenders after they've served their time. They get a right to drive a car again, right? So why shouldn't they get a right to vote again? I don't quite get it. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855.
Come to the end of the Savage Nation. I'm going to give you the news headlines because after I leave the air, there's no reason to leave the radio on. You may as well just turn the radio off and go watch television or play wiffle ball. Do they make wiffle balls anymore? Because after I get through, all of the best sound has been heard, all the best stories have been heard, and there's no one left to listen to on the radio. We all know that. So what are the headlines? Well, let me read you the show outline for today on the Savage Nation in case you just tuned in, which would be sad. I mean, you're going to fail the midterms if that's what you've done. At the beginning of Hour 1, we talked about what Belgium's child euthanasia law means for America and the Constitution. What do you mean? What? They're going to let children decide whether they should kill themselves? Are they crazy? You know, it was the European nations that argued that the death penalty should not apply to children, meaning teenagers, because they weren't able to understand why they did the crime. But now we're supposed to believe they're able to understand why they should end their lives? You know what it is. This is just more and more of this humanism. We had the guest Vicky Behenna on. If you don't know who Vicky Behenna is, understand that her son was falsely accused of a crime. Army Ranger son, Michael Behenna, sent to 25 years in prison for killing a known Al-Qaeda operative while serving in Iraq. And they put our Lieutenant Behenna in prison. Well, because we raised enough of a ruckus, he's got a parole. Can you believe this? Thank God. Thank God. Not only was this a miscarriage of justice on behalf of Lieutenant Behenna, but it demoralized the U.S. troops who continue to fight on behalf of the freedom and security of our nation. In the second hour today, we talked about all the other news stories of the day. Obama talking about global warming in the midst of the ice sheets covering two-thirds of the United States of America. See, nothing will change their doxy. I'm surprised he didn't fly to Mexico to talk about global warming in America to avoid the snow and sleet. Goldman Sachs decided to stop trading uranium after links to Iran exposed. Then we talked about the UN finally being horrified by the vicious slaughter of children in the Central African Republic. Really? Now, Muslim Nigerians have slaughtered Christian Nigerians without a single hesitation. Muslims also kill other Muslims in the same manner. Look at Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Egypt, Libya, and practically ever the Muslim nation. See, there are two separate sects of Islam which slaughter one another now and again. And so now the UN is speaking out against Christian violence, but never against Islamic violence. How is that possible? Do you think there's a bias at the United Nations? We also had some sound today, some nice pleasant sound, such as a black teen mob attacking a disabled American veteran who was white, screaming, "Knock that white boy out." Now, that's not a hate crime. It's not a hate crime because, well, it just isn't. In Animal Farm, there's only a certain kind of hate crime, and that's not one of them. We played Obama from 2008, saying, "I intend to reverse what Bush did by bringing more and more power into the executive." Well, that was then. This is now. Nancy Pelosi on marriage. She said, why get married? That's what happened to Family Values under Nancy Pelosi. She's saying, why would you get married? We then had Tom Perkins saying, the rich should get more votes. I like that. If you pay no dollars in taxes, you shouldn't vote at all, as far as I'm concerned. And the more you pay, the more you should vote, because they're taking it from you to give to the non-voter. Does that make sense? Guess not. Well, there was a lot more today on the Savage Nation, all of the week in review, which I can't summarize in only a few minutes. But all I can say to you is this. You're in a class by yourself when you listen to the Savage Nation. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America.